Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
He's so worthy and he's so holy, and I love the picture of these little kids. Whoops, I just knocked this thing right off. I'm not good at this whole ear thing. Okay, I think I got it. So he's holy and he's worthy, and he's beckoning us. He's been beckoning for some time, and there's no condemnation, but we're all at a different place in him, and he's beckoning us wherever we're at on the mountain of God to come a little higher, come a little deeper, come a little closer, consecrate a little further. Lord, I thank you for each person that you did bring here tonight. This is a special night because you're special, and it's a powerful night. As you sit in the presence tonight, he told me when the worship started that there's healing, like effortless healing in the room tonight. Effortless healing just by staying tucked in and tuned into him, to his presence. It's like you are fixing, it's like we're living out the scripture live, real time. He wants to show himself strong of a few things, like casting your cares on him and he will care for you, of seeking him first and all this is taken care of for you, and to, you know, trade yokes and burdens with him once again. And so I see people in here coming up, like in the spirit, just walking up to the mercy seat and to the altar, and just laying anything and everything down that tries to incessantly rail on your mind. And I see a grace for you to say, no, I'm, for this time right here, I'm practicing what life's all about, what my heart wants, which is to fix my gaze on you, Jesus, the Holy One, the Worthy One, the Author, the Finisher, the only one worthy. And so as we started, I heard head to, you know, that song, Head to the Heart. And I feel like that's the title of what he wants to talk about tonight. And so Head to the Heart. There's so many things. And the hearts in this room are golden. The Lord says that. Your hearts are golden. And he's answering hearts' cries tonight, of things that you've known in your head. And you're crying out like, I want to live that out. I want to go deeper into that scripture or that concept or something. Everybody in this room has something tonight that the Lord wants to respond to. And so I'm going to tell on myself. I'm going to go back just a little bit. So part of my story is that that I'm divorced. And I'm not proud to say that. When God told me that it was time to do that, I said, and I had a whole church saying to me, but God hates divorce. And I said, that's true. His word says he hates divorce. So Lord, help. What do you say about this? And he took me straight into Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, where it says in the Passion Translation, there are six evils God truly hates and a seventh that is an abomination to him. Putting others down while considering yourself superior, spreading lies and rumors, spilling the blood of the innocent, plotting evil in your heart towards another, gloating over doing what's plainly wrong, spouting lies and false testimony, and stirring up strife. These are entirely despicable to God. And how easily any one of these things has been, and if we're being honest, has been in our heart at one time or another. And I'm going to go full circle tonight, just so you know, when I tell on myself, there'll be some of these things that recently happened to me because of my heart's cry. And so I say I'm divorced for a reason, because I have four children. We were married 20 years and we're good friends today. And I have a true love, for their father, for my ex-husband, like God's love. If God said, go care for him, I would do it in a dime. I would do anything that the Lord said, and I truly am friends with him by God's grace. And that being said, though, when we got divorced, I had like two babies, two toddlers, and two teenagers. And a couple in heaven. There was a big gap there and a couple miscarriages, right? But the teenagers were trying to figure out, is God real? You know, I had like an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old. And the 15-year-old was a victim of rage, like a murderous rage, okay, in the household. And so he was strangled. But when I filed for divorce in an order of protection, he didn't, how do I put that? I'm just asking the Lord for the words, right? Like, everyone has your truth. We all have our truth. There's God's truth, my truth of what happened, and then this dear teen son's truth in his world of what happened in his life. His life blew up. There was a divorce, and it was very hard. And so he hated me, and he was very open about that. And God told me to do this. So you can imagine my wrestling in my heart with wanting to be angry at God for what he told me to do. But his ways are higher. And my heart was being tested. I was the one who was crying out for change and the death process. And you don't go through divorce because of the death process. That was just part of my story in my life, because decisions I made and decisions other people made. It just happens to be part of the story, sad though it is. Then because he was struggling, there came a day about 3 years after we were divorced that the level of, I was really trying to listen to the Holy Spirit on how to parent him and love him through this hard time. And finally one day, there had been enough and the Lord said, you need to tell him to leave. I said, really? Where? To go with, you know, the one with the rage? Okay. God's ways are higher. Yes, sir. So there was an amazing grace and peace around this. I walked up to his bedroom and I said, enough's enough. He said, you're right. I'll be out by Sunday. And he was extremely respectful. There was a grace around it. Sunday came, his friend who pulled up and with a trailer, he respectfully moved out. And I would listen to the Lord and he'd say, invite him out for steak or whatever he wants to eat. And I would have dates with him. And after I kicked him out, then came Labor Day weekend about, I don't know, 6 months, 9 months later. And he was going to this church that I used to attend when I was married and being mentored and getting real involved with the soundboard and being an awesome pastor was just really taking him under his wing. He was involved with the youth group and they would go to Green Lake, Wisconsin, to the where we've been for the Free Indeed. The church would go there for Labor Day. And so they were up there for Labor Day, and they do a spontaneous, some planned, but spontaneous Holy Spirit baptisms. And my son, that day, you know, I had laid my kids at the cross a few times. Truly, by God's grace, laid them at the cross. And my son, come on in, if you're coming in. You know, and he was at Green Lake. He had a crush on a girl. He was there with a youth group and having a good vacation for Labor Day weekend. And he found himself at the beach at Green Lake. And the Lord said to him, leave your anger at the shore. Come out in the water with me, and I'll give you a new life. He got saved and baptized. He heard the voice of the Lord. Hands off. He didn't even live with me. All glory to God. And so fast forward, one day, now this is a son that hated me. He was struggling. I'm okay with that. My gosh, how many of God's kids hate him? They don't know his goodness, right? And I'm just a human. I don't have God's goodness, only through him. And so, you know, one day he landed on my front door about 6 months after he was saved. And we were talking the Bible. We were talking, you know, conferences he'd been to. And there were amazing moments where there was this word I'd given the pastor. And he said, that's us. That's my prayer group right now. Oh, my gosh, that's coming true in this church. And just things like God was doing. And he gave me, so this is a funny story. I think most parents who've had teenagers can relate to this. You know, when he was going through that struggle of just the divorce and the hatred and all that, I couldn't get him to even pick up a dish, right? So I'd make dinner and the dish would sit in his bedroom. And I said, that's fine. Those are from the wedding and that's like a day of the past. It would do me great joy to throw that dish out. He said, you're not going to throw your dishes out. I said, watch, the garbage is right there. One at a time, every bowl, every plate, every fork, Dollar Tree it was, plastic silverware, paper plates that are floppy, and it was great. And they all got thrown out, and my boys were like, I can't believe you did that, you know. Then came the day after he was saved. This is just a sweet, sweet thing, like God did this. He's saved now. I didn't even know it right away. Found out on social media. And then he comes to my front door with like this set of dishes in a box that he bought for me. He's like, I stood and I was like agonizing over what's your favorite color. I just didn't like, he really wanted it to be a special gift. And he did pick my favorite color for dishes at that time. Like, you know, he's like, I picked them up at Target. You want to go out to eat, you know? And there's been several moments like that with that son since then. And so fast forward to a couple weeks ago. He got married, and it's a situation. But he got married, and I just, my heart was, Lord, I just want to love well. I want to love well to these people that believe big lies about me, right? Like my old other side of the family. Weddings and funerals can be hard. There's a lot of emotion. And if there's a broken family, let's just call it what it is. There's brokenness there. And I was like, I just want to love well. You know, I want to show up and I want to love well. That was my one prayer. No matter whatever happens in his life, I want to love well. And I showed up and it was, you know, there were moments, but not with him. We have a very cordial, loving relationship, but I know he struggles to say, I love you. And I don't say that except for to show that I can see his heart still hurts. His heart still hurts. I don't think he's reckoned and understands that's okay. My life decisions, right? The things God, there's not been full circle on that yet. And so he asked me if I wanted to do a speech, so I got to do a speech, you know, to talk about, just to get a word from the Lord and love on him through that. And then his dad gave a speech and a few other people, the bride's mom, and then my oldest son, you know, was the best man. And then my son gave a speech, and the speech, you know, how do I put this? So I'm going to say something first. Hi, sweetie. It's okay. I'm going to say something first. You know, sometimes before I tell this part of the story, I want everyone to check in the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, what? I'm asking the Holy Spirit, if you could just close your eyes for a second. Holy Spirit, what are you teaching me today? Because you all came here. Maybe a couple of you were dragged, but you know what? He has some for you too. And he has something for you, and it's always good. It's so good. What have I been crying out with my heart that's in my head, but I want a truth to go to my heart so I don't react ever again out of that thing, whatever that thing is. So I'm just asking him to show that to each one of you right now. So he gave this speech, and it was a glorious speech about what a loving husband his father was, the one I divorced, that God told me to. And there was like a real purposeful leaving mom out of the speech. And I thought I was okay. I thought I was emotionally unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I thought I didn't care what other people think about me. We're useless if our emotions are ever in front of God, and we're useless if we care what people think. And the only way we can know is to sometimes, I got free on levels of that, but this was a big test for me. Never realized that I would ever be affected by something like that. I just wanted to love well. It's my son's wedding day. And now I'm ready to burst into tears sitting across the table from a very dysfunctional childhood. Like, let's just put it this way. In the spirit realm, I was surrounded by devils. Let's just call it what it is, okay? And so I had a moment to go pray with Jesus so I could come back and love well. And I was like, Lord, don't even let anyone notice that I left. This is so bad. Like, I can't cry in this wedding. Like, it's my son's day. And had my moment and started to spiral, not knowing what the problem was. And the enemy just had a heyday. And I'm telling on myself because I got a stern correction from the Lord. You would think you'd get a big hug. That was hard. Wah, wah. No, no. It was my emotions were, and what my son or anyone else thought of me that day mattered too much, and it really hurt. That takes us out, and now we're useless for God. And so, now tonight, I was on my way here, and I got a phone call. Now, I've gotten a handful of phone calls. That son, let's just call it what it is, he kind of got backslid with the engagement and some things like that. So there's been, he got saved, he was on fire, we were seeing each other. Like, there was a real reconciliation, miraculous, like, reunification going on. And then some things happened, and the enemy tried to, like, if it was a rubber band, pull him backwards for about 3 years here, okay? And to honor him, I'm leaving that part of the story out, but it wouldn't make sense if I didn't say that. And so tonight, it was literally a miracle. I was on my way here, and I got a phone call from him. And he says to me, Mom, I got the pictures from the wedding today. Oh, and there was something else at the wedding, and I have to say this. This is God. So that moment passed, and I went to the car, and I couldn't stop crying, and I'm trying not to have makeup all over the place, right? Because whatever, people look. They look at you. And I go back in, and the bride danced with her father, and that was a very broken, beautiful thing. And then all of a sudden, my son walked up to the DJ. And there was a long, let's call it a pregnant pause in the ceremony, in the situation with going on here. Dinner's been eaten, and there's supposed to be the dance of the bride and groom. But my son is standing at the table of the DJ, and prophetically, I know exactly what's going on. He's changing the plan. So the DJ gets the mic. He says, there's been a change in plans. I would like the mother of the groom out to the dance floor. Kind of like the moment at the beach. Let go of your anger. Come in the water. The water's safe. I want to change your life. I believe God spoke to him. And my son, I just loved on him on the dance floor. I got to love on him. And it was like his sweet 23-year-old mouth wanted to utter a word or 10, and he couldn't. Tears just ran down his face. Pain. And love. He didn't need to say a word. Really, neither one of us did. But, so there was that. So he called tonight on the way here, and he said, I have this 18-year-old that his new wife, it's a co-worker of hers, and she has nowhere to live. Now remember, he was kicked out. I want to help her, you know. Can you help, Mom? Do you know how we could get this girl some help? Now, to me, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. Oh, and he said, I got the pictures from the wedding. There's a ton of pictures of you and I dancing. You know, only God can do this, guys. His ways are higher. Sometimes, here's the point of all that. I said all that to say this. Sometimes in the moment, it is so painful, and maybe you did what God said, and you're like, why'd you tell me to do that? Like, this doesn't make any sense. This hurts. This is terrible. This is ugly. They don't like me anymore. I'm not like my kid's idol anymore. Well, I said that a little extreme, but sometimes I think maybe I was guilty of this Proverbs 6, going back to thinking a little too highly. Here I was thinking other people thought they thought so highly of the lies they believed about me, but maybe I was thinking a little too highly of my little self. So I'm just saying that humility halts opinions and pride parades them. And so sometimes all throughout the Bible, when God told certain people to do things, things got hard for a little bit sometimes. But you know what? If you don't walk through red seas that need to be parted, or if you don't sit in the desert where there's no water, I don't know how we could see the goodness of God, right? If we don't walk through hardship that he actually sends us through, he's with us. He says, the water won't overtake you, right? I'm with you. No fire will consume you and the water won't get you. And so there's this invitation to come in deeper, to come up higher, and to examine. God, examine my heart, right? See me, test me, try me. See if there's any way in me. I have a tickle in my throat. That you would like to work on in this hour. Like Holly and Lori, excuse me, have so beautifully said over the years, what are we doing today? That's the easy way, guys. Lord, what are we doing today? Instead of, I know what I'm doing today. You know, it's so easy to just go on autopilot, to get up and do our thing. So, head to the heart. From the head to the heart, you know. Life is a journey and an invitation from the Lord, especially to the people who would come out on a Wednesday night. And many times we hear things that hurt so good here. We really do. We hear the hard truths. It is so easy to sit in the chair, been guilty more times than I like to count, think, oh, that's really good for so-and-so across the room, you know. But when the rubber meets the road, how is that for me, you know? And so I hope this, you know, encourages you. I feel like I'm just seeing what the Lord has next, but I feel like there's a declaration in the room that will do, whoever wants to do it. There's healing in the room on many levels tonight. The Lord did say, you know, this is going to be because of him and what he's doing. Now, all hands off. I'm telling you, a powerful night. A life-changing night. So I have a declaration. So if you'd like to come up higher and go deeper, that's what this is about. Just go ahead and repeat after me. Lord, I thank you that you've invited me to come up higher, to come a little closer, to walk in tandem with you. Show me what that looks like. Would you help me, Holy Spirit, to ask each day, what are we doing today? Help me to live in the moment as I come deeper in trusting you. Show me what you would like to show me in this hour. In Jesus' name. So there's someone with a foot issue in here. And the Lord is healing that right now. Headaches. Now, when the Lord gives a word of knowledge, that means it's like when he said, let there be light, and there was. So just receive it, believe it, stand on it, declare it. Just say, on this day, what is it? On October 23rd, 2024, get out, devil. I was healed. Shut up. Go. Reverse. In the name of Jesus. Headaches are gone in the name of Jesus. I don't care what caused them. They're gone. I see the root coming out of all causes of headaches. In Jesus' name. Never again. Oh, bashindirake, jindirake, shkotirako. Manako, yindirake, shkotirako, ye. Kina, could you just put on some soft music? Thank you. Oh, ba ba ba. Shere ki oshke wander koshko tere ki ya. Oh, this is so good. There's several people in here that have deep mother wounds. Deep mother wounds, wounds from your mother. The Lord is healing you. The Lord is healing you of mother wounds. If any of this resonates with you, you can whisper real quietly, "I take that."
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from SpiritofGodWorldwide.com.